columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
What's happening? Football at 4, and we want to put it out there, and you can see Tyler's video. My video is coming out at 5:30, but we're saluting seniors from the 2020 class, and we encourage you to shoot a video and send it to us at 1043thefan.com/senior, and we'll start highlighting some seniors who deserve recognition, and we'd love to point them out. So, again, 1043thefan.com/senior, and we'd love to spotlight your seniors. Okay, before I get going with this really wild mock draft, what do you have there in terms of available quarterbacks, Tyler, in terms of what the Broncos could have done the year Peyton Manning retired?
Well, it's a little bit unclear still, man, because I'm not sure how these guys all ended up. But, yeah, the names that were available were Kirk Cousins, Sam Bradford, Brock Osweiler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, RG3, Brian Hoyer, and Case Keenum.
Okay. So who's your guy there? Who's the best quarterback there?
Well, we're assuming that Kirk got franchised, so he's not available, right? The rest of these guys, boy, Sam Bradford. At the time, I mean, Robert Griffin was going through a ton of struggles, right? He was on the street, basically. Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick was already a career journeyman. Brian Hoyer was already a career journeyman. How about this? Brock Osweiler was by far the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
By far. I mean, if we're not including Kirk, yeah, it's Brock.
Right. And this is why, wow, you know, of course, hindsight is 2020. I get it. Hindsight is 2020. But knowing what we know now, if you have a special team and you think you have a special team, you can't go cheap. You know, it was one thing to get outbid by Cincinnati for DJ Reader, right? But man, oh man, if you really put as much as you did in a Brock Osweiler, you have got to just lock him down.
Well, you know what's funny about it is that we've got all this ability to look back on it, hindsight 2020. Okay, ironically, they made the right move on Brock Osweiler. You know, like, so you can, like, dog him for it at the same time. Would Brock have been worth all that money that Houston paid him if we paid it here in Denver?
Say that again?
Okay, all the money that he got in Houston, and he failed, right?
Yeah.
If he would have gotten that exact contract here in Denver, how would it have worked out?
I think it would have worked out great. I think it would have been, he would have known the system. He would have had the confidence of his teammates. I don't know if they would have won a Super Bowl, Tyler, but I bet you they're back in the playoffs. I think if Brock had done that, I think he'd still be in the NFL to this day. I don't know if he'd be the starting quarterback for the Broncos, but I bet you he'd still be in the NFL. That was, again, heartbreaking is a relative term. But that article about him just sitting down there in Scottsdale, basically being bored, being healthy, and still wanting to play was kind of rough to read.
I don't think they would have, like, skyrocketed and stayed at the top of the entire league type of thing, but you would have gotten 4, maybe 5 years of pretty average quarterback play, you know? An average would have gotten you to 9 or 10 wins a few times, right?
It's a great question, and
But would that have been worth the money, 9 or 10 wins? Would that have been worth the money? Probably not.
Yeah, but where are we now?
I don't know.
Like, everything that exists now is because of that decision.
But we would have still been going through it, man, because eventually you would have realized that you're not going to win a championship with Brock, and you would have just continued to chase. So I don't know that anything would have been that different.
We would have still taken Drew Locke eventually in the second round and gone with him?
Yeah. Yeah, we would have. I mean, how do you know? How do you know what the fallout is? This crystal ball?
If we had Brock Osweiler, how many well, we wouldn't have drafted Paxton Lynch. I'll give you that. Okay, so you don't draft Paxton Lynch. But then again, you never play Trevor Siemian unless Brock gets hurt, right?
Actually, matter of fact, a second-round QB makes a whole lot more sense when you've got Brock Osweiler in the building, you know?
Well, not a second-round QB, but like a fourth, fifth, sixth-round QB makes sense.
No, see, but this is where we depart.
You don't give up a starter for a project.
This is where we depart, though. I mean, a second-rounder for me is well worth it as a quarterback.
Well, Tyler, you realize only three quarterbacks in the past 5 years have been taken in the second round, right?
Okay, I get it. I've heard that stat a million times from you. I mean, we could go through all the stats of the fifth and sixth rounders and see what they're going to turn into, and I bet you the guys that get selected in the second are better players.
Well, not in the past 5 years, but I mean, the trend of the NFL has just gone in this whole nother direction. It's gone fast.
Dude, Drew Lock would have been perfect. Actually, it would have been a fantastic idea. In the second round, you get a guy that many people viewed as a top 10 draft pick at one point, right? You pick him up in the second. There's no pressure to put him on the field. You've got an established starter
field. Hold on. Time out.
Yeah.
Back me up a little bit. Let's just play the what-if game just briefly. So, Gary Kubiak remains the coach, and Brock Osweiler is now your quarterback for the entire year. What do you finish? Give me the what-if game a little bit.
10-6.
Yeah, and to do that, you had to do what kind of deal with Brock Osweiler? 5-year deal?
Yeah. What did he get in Houston? About $90 million, something like that?
Something like that, right? Okay, so they go 10-6, and they make the playoffs. Okay, wow, okay, cool. And they lose, obviously, in the playoffs. Does Gary Kubiak quit after that year?
I don't know, man.
No way.
So in other words, you don't believe that health had anything to do with it for Gary Kubiak?
Of course not.
Of course it did.
He's got health issues, but nothing he can't sort of manage and take control of.
Dude, you don't just step down for being a head coach in the NFL unless you've got a reason.
Dude, all of his boys were about to get canned. The entire coaching staff was about to be zipped. Because they offensively were garbage.
Then why isn't he a head coach right now, D-Mac? Because if he wanted to be a head coach, he could be a head coach in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
He could have been it last year. He could have been it this year. If he wanted to be a head coach, he would be.
All right, so you still think they're 10-6, they go to the playoffs, and Gary steps down?
I don't know.
Well, what do you think? They're not firing Brock. They're not getting Case.
I mean, we're assuming a lot here, okay?
We're making some logical assumptions.
All right, let's be in the middle here. Let's say this. Let's say there were some legitimate health concerns that were reasonable and they were there, okay?
All right, I'll go with you.
And then when you combine that with the fact that you see the team is going downhill, all of a sudden it's kind of like when you get paid as a player, all of a sudden your knee hurts a little bit more, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, what's their record, though? So he's retiring because
No. I'm saying under the exact scenario that he did retire under.
9-7. Yes. 9-7 missing the playoffs with Brock.
Correct. No. With Trevor and Paxton Lynch.
All right. But you got me so confused.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Point being, when there's health concerns and things are bad around you, yes, I will admit that it is easier to walk away from it. If the team was great and you had your starting quarterback in place, then in theory, you can deal with your health concerns a little bit more because everything feels great. But there's a lot of assumptions in there that I'm just not comfortable with making that I think there was health concerns.
Okay, so there's health concerns. But we're still going with the scenario, because he did coach the next year, that they signed Brock. Let's just play the game. They signed Brock to a 5-year deal, $90 million. They give him the deal that Houston gave him, and he sticks around. Well, they go 10-6. They're not firing all of his coaches. They just made the playoffs. So even if he steps down, there'd be some sort of other sort of transition. It wouldn't have been Vance Joseph, right? If Gary stepped down and they were in the playoffs, do you think Vance Joseph would have been hired to be the coach of the Denver Broncos? No. Yes, I do.
Who tried to hire Vance Joseph?
As a defensive coordinator.
More specifically, what coach tried to hire him?
Gary Kubiak.
That's right. Gary Kubiak tried to hire him. He signed off on Vance Joseph.
Okay.
John Elway signed off on Vance Joseph. So everything's going great. You think those relationships changed? You think their opinion of Vance Joseph changed? They would still have made the same mistake.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you're right about Gary and liking Vance Joseph. But I just think as a playoff team, some of his offensive coaches would have had a chance to step up and maybe take that job, not VJ. I mean, I still think Gary would have been more loyal to some of his other guys that were currently on his staff.
Well, that could have been true. I mean, you know, like a guy like Rick Dennison.
Rick Dennison, maybe
he would have finally got a legitimate shot at it if things were good.
So Rick Dennison gets the job. Holy cow, we found a worse scenario. Unbelievable. We actually found a worse scenario than VJ. Okay. Shoo, dodge that bullet. I want to get into this mock, which is wild.
You're bad.
Boy, does this have a fascinating scenario for the Broncos. And my man, Joe Burrow, does not go number one in this mock. Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Reason to pump the brakes, but no, nothing's going to hold you back now.
This is good. A lot, but good.
You've also got more than enough reason to switch to Geico. Because with Geico, you've got the ability to reach an agent for help 24-7. Unlike your ability to get more water at this restaurant.
Yeah, you can just leave the pitcher this time.
And even though you regret overlooking the four little peppers next to your dish on the menu, you'll never feel overlooked with Geico. Because they're available 24-7. Maybe that's why they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Oh, wow.
So, Colorado, while you're trying to look composed with a mouthful of ice cubes as you fan yourself with the drink menu, you can feel relieved knowing Geico helps with homeowners and renters insurance through the Geico Insurance Agency, too. At least, once you can feel your lips again.
Geico. More reasons than ever to switch today at geico.com.
Deals, deals, deals during the month of madness. Steal your slam dunk deal on the top-selling luxury crossover SUV, the 2020 Acura RDX. For a limited time, save thousands when you buy with exclusive conquest and loyalty lease offers. RockyMountainAcuraDealers.com.
When it comes to repairing our home, we often say, why didn't I do that sooner? At Complete Basement Systems, your satisfaction is their main priority. They understand the importance of fixing your foundation, basement, or crawl space right the first time to ensure your peace of mind, safety, and the longevity of your home. Their team of experts will fix the issues that cause cracked bricks, sticking doors, mold, wood rotting fungus, and musty smells. Call Complete Basement Systems for a free inspection and a written estimate. They can provide an affordable solution and special financing options to ensure you're getting quality service that fits your budget. And once they're done with the work, they know your future self will thank you. Complete Basement Systems. There's a reason they've been around for so long. Go to CompleteBasementSystems.com. That's CompleteBasementSystems.com. Financing subject to credit approval. Ask your inspector for details.
Hello, Colorado. David Chemianski here. This segment is brought to you by U.S. Mortgages. Talk to us first.
All guests appear on the Fireball Hotline. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We love our guy, James Palmer. I mean, look how beautiful he is, Tyler.
The hair, man. The hair.
Oh, my God. It's everything.
It's like a clone of Joel Klatt.
Wow. That is scary.
Just gorgeous people.
Yeah. I mean, just perfect human beings. So when they talk, because they look so good, you should really pay attention. I'll get into this wild mock. And by the way, Tiger King update at 4:45.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because Stokely will be joining us from his domicile.
Oh.
And he has already watched the entire thing.
That's funny because I saw his cousin on the show last night.
Whose cousin?
Stokely's.
On Tiger King?
Yeah.
Well, I look for it.
All those people look like they're from his hometown.
See? Well, good. I look forward to you letting him know that. although it wasn't down in the... Okay, I see where you're going. James Palmer on the Broncos draft strategy. Here we go.
John Elway, speaking with the team's website, believes that they filled all of their glaring holes in free agency, and now moving forward to the draft, he believes they can go with best player available. Remember, the Broncos have the 15th overall pick. Keep an eye on potentially a receiver landing there in Denver to help out their young franchise quarterback in Drew Lock. But looking at the draft, remember, let's go back to the combine. When Vic Fangio decided not to send any of his assistants or scouts to Indianapolis. He instead wanted all of them to stay back in Denver, study college tape for that entire week. And now with everything that's going on and teams being unable to meet with one another in their facilities, John Elway believes this move coincidentally put them way ahead.
Agree or disagree?
I disagree. We are not going to be in just BPA mode. This team is going to be very, very specific, and more specifically than anything, it's wide receiver, right? Okay. I mean, if you're truly in BPA, that is all positions included. You know, you got a D lineman, you got a corner, you got a wide receiver, you got an O lineman, whatever, you take it, right? But I think it's true that it has opened up the possibilities that you no longer have the pressing needs in certain spots, but it's going to come down to two or three different positions, right? It'll be a wide receiver, potentially a linebacker, potentially an offensive tackle. That's the way I view it.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. More of James.
Fangio also believes it gives them an advantage because for a while now, all of their rankings, all of their evaluations, profiles on all of these college players have been in the system for anybody to take a look at and evaluate. Elway would like the draft to be pushed back if it was up to him, but at the same time, him and Fangio do believe that what they decided to do with the combine is paying off right now.
Why? I do agree with that, meaning, and we talked about it quite a bit yesterday, Tyler. We said, boy, it really feels like there's a plan that's consistent that feels a little bit different than the past. Like, I think everything makes sense. Everything, including Melvin Gordon.
Everything makes sense. Is there any free agent that does not make sense? No. Everything has made sense. You know, Melvin Gordon came as a little bit of a surprise to the casual fan, but to anybody that truly understood a Pat Shurmur offense, it really was not a surprise to anybody. So it was a bit of a luxury. I still will stick to that. It was a bit of a luxury, but it makes sense if you really are studying it.
We didn't see it necessarily clearly at the end of the season, but it wasn't a coincidence that Sandy and Orlando put Melvin Gordon on their free agency board, and we had been talking about it for, I'd say, a good 2 or 3 weeks before it happened, Tyler, meaning there was enough rumbling out there for us to have an idea, and then I had my little birdie 3 days before it happened said it was about to happen.
Well,
so
yeah, we knew that they were in on a top-tier running back, or at least in a running back in general. I was still surprised, I guess, that it came down to a $16 million deal. I would have thought it would have been in on a guy like Devontae Freeman or somebody that would have just been like the opposite of Philip Lindsay, more on the cheap.
But they didn't care about the money. Why? They weren't going to bring back Shelby Harris and Derek Wolfe. They weren't going to go with Robbie Anderson. They weren't going to go with Perryman. They're going to address that in the draft, which, you know, if you got to, you know, it makes sense that you think about wide receiver. But check this mock out from Chad Reuter from NFL.com. I misspoke a little bit. He's got Joe Burrow going first to Cincinnati. The change that was different, he's got Tua Tagovailoa going second to the Redskins.
Yep.
How about that move, huh?
I saw that. I'm a little bit surprised to see it. You know, the Redskins have been flirting with it publicly, trying to make people think that they're into Tua. You know, you just drafted Dwayne Haskins last year. And if I know anything about Dan Snyder, man, he goes all in on his guys. And when he's got somebody in mind and he likes them, which it would appear that Dwayne Haskins was his guy, he tries to make that work.
I guess, but that would be, this is the Arizona Cardinals all over again. You blow out the coach. You have a different mindset. You don't care what you did last year.
Hey, guess what? Guess what? It would be the right thing to do for the Redskins. How about that? It would be the right thing to do.
Tyler?
Tua is night and day different than Dwayne Haskins.
If you don't believe you have the right guy at quarterback, and you are in a position to get somebody you think could be the right guy, and you don't get him, you're an idiot franchise. And that's that. And it really only... It only makes sense when you replace a coach and a GM, you make those very dramatic moves. For example, Mike Shanahan, for all the reasons he shouldn't have been fired, and hindsight again, 2020, and there's a lot Mike shouldn't have been fired for, but the number one reason he shouldn't have been fired, Tyler, is because he was the one that drafted Jay Cutler the year before in the first round. You don't screw that up. If you make that sort of investment, you got to see it through. I mean, unless your season just went to hell in a handbasket, but in the Broncos' case, it didn't. In the Cardinals' case, it was a disaster. In the Redskins' case, it is a disaster.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, that makes sense. And that goes to the debate, too. If you could have taken Cam Newton or Von Miller, who would you have taken? If you could take Tua Tagovailoa or Chase Young, who would you take?
If I'm blind, if I don't know anything, I would take the quarterback. Knowing what I know now, that Von Miller is going to be a Hall of Famer, that he currently is a Hall of Famer in my mind, I would take Von Miller. But, I mean,
yeah, but
to your point, D-Mac, to your point, if you're blind, you don't know what the future says, you don't have that crystal ball, I would always value the quarterback over the pass rusher.
Okay, well, good. That at least makes sense. Holy cow. But anyways,
that's the problem. You never pretend that you're blind. You always just feel like you know everything at that moment.
I don't feel like I know everything. And somebody was yelling at me, D-Mac, you were chasing Peyton out of town. You know what? I see where that person is saying that. And I have said many times on the air, I would never do that again. I would never chase Peyton out of town. I just see things incredibly differently. So you learn. You learn as you go. Meanwhile, at number four, they have the Dolphins taking Justin Herbert. Chase Young going 3 to the Lions. Tristan Wirfs going 5 to the Giants. Number 6 is Mekhi Becton to the Chargers. Bad luck for the Chargers getting, you know, 3 out of 4 quarterbacks are gone. Jeff Okuda goes number 7. And then he has the Broncos at number 8.
Oh!
So in this particular mock, he's got the Broncos moving up from 15 to 8. For who? I'll tell you next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Brandon Stokely will join us from his man cave in about 15 minutes, and we'll touch on a lot of things. But the first thing we'll get to with Brandon Stokely will be our review of Tiger King.
No doubt.
I know you've done your homework, Tyler, and I like it, the fact that you've only watched a couple of episodes at this point, so because there's great stuff to come. So we look forward to bringing Stokely on, as we can do so relatively easily as we just broadcast from a variety of points. You're holding things down in the studio with the skeleton crew.
I'll just keep coming to work. Don't worry about it. I'm good.
Well, hold on. We can switch it up next week if you want.
I'm good.
We can make a handoff.
I don't want to go into why I'm good, but I'm good.
I already told you I had a meltdown. If you want to switch back and forth, buddy, you just let me know. Sure.
I love coming to work, man.
Okay. All right. It's because it's soon.
And I love coming to work all at the same time.
So this Chad Reuter draft, mock draft, get back to it. It's got Mike Evans' head must be blowing off, because it's got 3 quarterbacks taking in the top 4 picks, which actually makes sense. And the big move, it's got the Broncos moving up to number 8. Okay, Andrew Thomas and Jedrick Wills are still on the board, tackles.
Okay.
But no wide receivers have gone yet. So if you move up to number 8.
So no pressure to get a wide receiver.
Why would you be moving? Okay. So what is more valuable? The 3rd best offensive tackle or your number 1 choice of wide receiver?
If specifically you're saying Jedrick Wills is available, the answer is specifically Jedrick Wills is the most valuable player in the draft at that point.
He has the Broncos taking Henry Ruggs the 3rd.
Man.
So he has the Broncos wanting Ruggs so bad that they do a deal with the Cardinals. And I guess the Cardinals need a tackle and are willing to take whatever chance. Really, what they're saying is the Cardinals want more capital later on in the draft.
Yep.
This one was, to me, like, wow.
I hate it.
You hate it? Why?
I hate it. What in the world would we be doing to trade up to number 8 to draft the first wide receiver on the board? And it's going to be Henry Ruggs. Come on, man. If we're going to trade up, okay, tell me we're trading up to go get one of the top offensive linemen that's available. But a wide receiver? At 15, we are going to have a phenomenal wide receiver on the board. No matter who it is, no matter who's been selected, there will be a phenomenal wide receiver if you want to select one.
Well, let me go through the rest, because this is a 4-round mock. So, of course, Tyler, when I saw it too, my jaw dropped. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what are you talking about? But I was like, okay, I'll look at the rest of the draft. And I know you're giving up, you know, a couple of your third-round picks, but you still have, in this scenario, a second-round pick. He has the Broncos taking A.J. Epenesa, outside linebacker, pass rusher from Iowa, in the second round. Now, this one to me was like, what? In a scenario that this guy, A.J. Epenesa, has been mocked in the first round all over the place. But in his
scenario, no, he's dropping, man. He's definitely dropping into the second round.
Okay.
Bad combine, and apparently the offseason hasn't been what he wanted it to be.
Okay. Wow. Because his stock was incredibly high. Then I was like, well, what else is going on? He's got the Broncos with one, now just one third-round pick, taking Matt Hennessy, a center from Temple. Okay.
Okay, so we got wide receiver.
We have we would have the number one choice of wide receiver in what is considered the deepest wide receiver class forever. We would have a pass rusher, and we have talked about when and if the Broncos will move on from Von Miller at some point. And then we would have a starting center. For fun, in the fourth round, he picks a cornerback out of Iowa, too.
You know what? So, I'm good with the second and third round picks. I like him, actually. If you had an opportunity to pick up Espinosa in the second round, a really good pass rusher, guess what? That's the equivalent of a starter. If you get a pass rusher that's going to be in a three-man rotation, which he absolutely will be, that's the way that the football works, you are going to get plenty of production out of him. So I'm good with the pass rusher. And then a center in the third round, man, you probably can find a starting center in the third round.
Correct. So when I looked at the whole thing in total, I was like, I think I'd be okay with this. Now, I still think Andrew Thomas is my number one guy. And then there's a lot of scenarios we have in our give me something to believe in second round board, right? But on the surface, if you're going to
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You say Andrew Thomas is your number one guy.
Yeah.
Are you assuming that Jedrick Wills is not available, though?
I'm assuming Wills is not available.
Yeah, because, I mean, in this scenario, he went at number 15.
My number one guy is Wirfs. You know, I think that's a generational type of dude. So, but yeah, so I'm taking Wirfs, Wills, and Becton off the board.
Okay.
And just saying, because I just...
Realistic possibilities.
That's correct. However, if you're moving up to number eight, that is fascinating. First of all, I'm like, wow, would the Cardinals really do that sort of deal? And I guess it sort of depends where you're at. They don't need a quarterback. They got themselves a great wide receiver, right? They got the deal of the century with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
They still have Larry Fitzgerald for one more year. They're not all that concerned about running back. You know, I kind of get it with the Cardinals making a deal back if they can get some value later on in the draft, can't you?
Oh, for the Cardinals, sure. I mean, for the Broncos, I would just have to know who the guy is. Even with the second and third round selections there, which I would be okay with taking a pass rusher and taking a center, I would not feel okay about that drafting in the entirety if you told me we traded up to go get Henry Ruggs at number eight.
Well,
I would feel bad about it. I would flat out feel bad about it.
Do you just not believe in Ruggs as the number one guy?
Nope, that's not it. I don't think that he is worth enough that you're going to have to trade up seven spots to go get him. To me, you've got a really good wide receiver that's going to be on the board. And I don't care who's off. I don't care who's off. If you've got four wide receivers that have been selected before number 15, guess what? You're still going to have a good wide receiver that's on the board.
By the way, this is another mock where Tyler Biadasz, the center from Wisconsin, has just fallen off the face of the earth.
Where they got him?
Like in the fourth round.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Man, he's really dropping.
I know. What am I missing here with Tyler Biadasz?
Number one center. So he's a center. So you start there. I mean, back in the heyday when everything made sense, you would never see a center drafted before the third round.
Right.
That would be the highest you would ever see him selected. So it doesn't feel that insane to me. If you don't have any centers that are just off the charts good, that he would fall to the third or fourth round, that feels about right.
Do we want a starting center out of the draft?
Yep. Yes, we do. Unless you want Graham Glasgow to be playing center and be the most expensive center in the league. Yeah, we do want to draft a center. I don't look.
Third round, though, that's all right, isn't it? Don't you think?
Well, I think, it's more than all right, because I think that you can actually get a starter there. You know, if you were to draft a center in the fifth round, okay, you got a developmental guy, you got a project, maybe in 2 or 3 years he'll be playing. But in the third round, yeah, that feels good. That feels like you're trying to address a need, and it was at the appropriate spot to take him.
I think there's a ton of flaws with this mock, but boy, it was one of the more interesting ones to read, and to think that the Broncos would wheel and deal to that point is fascinating. And it makes me wonder, if they can wheel and deal to that point, if that exists, why wouldn't they take a tackle? I mean, seriously.
If they traded up to 8 and you don't have a choice, they're trading up to 8, who do you want them to take at number 8?
Thomas or Wills. I mean, best tackle available. Who is it? You know, you got kind of the big four, Tyler. So you tell me, you know, Becton, Wirfs, Wills, and Thomas. You know, how good are those four guys individually? Are they all pretty good?
I am all in on Wirfs. I am all in on Wills. I am in, not all in, on Becton. And Thomas, I'm like, I get nervous. I get nervous.
Why?
For Thomas. Man, his combine just worried me, and it's silly stuff, but man, when you see him not finishing through the line,
oh,
when you see him getting lazy at the combine, so you know what I did?
Wow.
I went back to see if I could find any plays that he was taking off, and what do you know? Lo and behold, you see this guy getting beat 2 or 3 times a game on something that he is just flat out being lazy on.
Oh, okay.
It's
all
not
right.
About technique, or it's not about ability. I just saw a handful of loafing plays in all the games that I watched.
Wow. Okay, good stuff to keep in mind. Are you ready for a Tiger King update?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for Brandon Stokely?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to talk about his cousins. I'm ready to talk about his brothers. I'm ready to talk about all these crazy people on this show.
All right, we get there next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Come on.
Exotic.
Tell all those hunters. To lay down their guns.
Right.
Tell them that the tiger needs a little bit of love.
Yes, they do.
Of course.
Let them run the jungle.
You're in closure.
Let them roam their land.
You're 32 acres.
Then stand and marvel. What a beautiful cat.
I saw a tiger.
Cause I saw a tiger.
The tiger saw me.
Now I understand.
Let's guess on that one.
I saw a tiger.
And a tiger?
The tiger saw me.
Brandon Stokely joins us right now.
That's deep right there.
Come on, Stoke.
I'll tell you,
man, that's how you come into a segment right there. I love it. Got me fired up.
You know, how big of a country music fan are you, Stoke?
Oh, I love country music.
Right.
Love it. Yeah, love it.
This isn't that bad, is it?
It's really not. It's really not.
Outside of the fact that he's talking about a tiger eating a man.
No,
right.
Like,
the words, but I mean, the voice, thing, it's not know? That. It's kind of, I can get down with it.
I mean, it's not crazy, right?
It's like absolutely not. It was probably the most sane thing that was on the show.
Well, I thought what was insane is that they could produce something that sounds as good as this.
I know, right? I'm like,
exactly.
This is what he should have been doing.
Okay. Right. He missed his calling.
Right.
So now, Stoke, I couldn't stop watching. And it sounds like you couldn't stop watching either once you started with the Tiger King on Netflix.
Yep.
But I've asked Tyler if he can to take it kind of slow and just give us some notes, you know, based on the episodes that he's watched. Because what I realized, Stoke, watching it, I was missing things, or I wasn't missing them. There was just so much that I would forget some of the craziness that was actually happening.
Right, and it's one of those things. Do you need to go back and watch it again?
Maybe.
Oh,
you know, do you need
lot.
To do it again? Because there's so many different angles and twists, and I think if you watched it all and then went back and watched it again, you would get some, like you were saying, you would get some of those things that you possibly missed the first time.
I watched the first one twice because I watched it once by myself, and then I watched it with my wife, and that definitely happened to me.
Yes.
Now, so were you able to watch this with your wife, or was this a solo venture?
No, it was with the wife.
She was into it too?
Oh, she loved it. Yeah, it was definitely with the wife. So now, you know, I'm thinking about what's next during this lockdown, stay at home situation. And everything is downhill. Everything is downhill.
Well, from
Ozark,
from,
yes. Season 3.
Well, I haven't seen season 1.
Oh, well, then you got to watch 1 and 2. Do it tonight.
Is this a sci-fi deal? No.
Okay. No, like dark comedy, sort of murder, scary, sad.
Ozark.
Cartels.
All right, Ozark. Yeah.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've been looking for something.
Ozark for sure. And season 3, like, I know I'm going to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning already. Because that's how good it is.
Can we talk about what I saw last night?
That's right. Let's go through your list, and Stoke, we'll get into football stuff here, but go through your list, Tyler, about what you noticed from Tiger King.
Oh, dear Lord. I mean, I have no idea where to even start. I mean, we had the three-man wedding that nobody smiled in. They were all miserable to be getting married to one another. You got Doc Annell, the Lord of Young Women, big cat competitor.
All right, so instantly in this documentary, multiple polygamy stories were coming out.
Correct. Right. Yes.
How is that even legal?
I mean, Doc Annell was grooming like 16-year-olds to become his future wife and marries them all. You got the lady who literally
girlfriends. It's just his girlfriend.
Oh, right. Okay. My fault. Right, yeah. My fault.
It's more similar to a cult than it's actually to a polygamous marriage. Yes.
But sure.
Joe Exotic, not the case, right? I mean, they actually got up there and had a ceremony.
Right.
Well, then you got the hero of Big Cat Conservation Rescue Lady.
Carol Baskin. Her name right.
Yeah, Carol Baskin, who apparently might have fed her husband to her cats, like these giant big cats. They just disappeared. Nobody has any idea where he is, and nobody decided to check the cats for like DNA residue or anything. You got the lady who literally had her arm eaten off by a tiger in front of a crowd.
Say a lady, but we find out later it's not a lady.
Oh, that's a man?
It's a trans person.
Okay. All right. Well,
with all respect, it's a trans person who doesn't go by traditional pronouns.
Okay, well, you had the trans person who literally had her arm eaten off by a tiger in front of a crowd, and Joe Exotic walks over to the customers, and what does he do? The arm was eaten off in front of people. An arm was torn off a human body. Right. And Joe Exotic walks over and he says, people, I just want to be the first to inform you, we had a tiger eat somebody's arm off. If you'd like to come back tomorrow, I would be happy to give you a rain check.
Right.
These people are ever coming back to this insane place.
See, that was great. I forgot about that.
I know. He offered him a refund or a rain check.
If you'd like a rain check, come back another day.
And don't forget, the trans person came back after 5 days.
Yes. It was remarkable, the recovery, and I didn't realize that was the situation with that person, and so that's another thing that I didn't know about it. So at every show, every level, it's just more twists and turns. But Carol Baskins is the craziest one. Her and her husband, they drive me bonkers.
It's funny you say that, because as I was walking into the show, I was talking to Zach, and I was asking him about Carol, the conservation lady, and I was like, all right, so is this lady, like, is she equally as crazy as the rest of them? Because I'm only 2 episodes in, right?
Right.
And he goes, nah, man. She's like one notch. She's like 1% down, like one notch, right? So I go, wait, so do you think that she killed her husband? And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. I go, hold on. She's 1% less crazy, and she fed her husband to the cats?
Exactly. There's your answer right there, Zach.
Oh, my God. You got any other notes there, Tyler? All great stuff.
Oh, that's about it. The entire show is polyamorous. I mean, the entire show.
Yes. Well, you'll see more interesting stuff in that direction as you go. Yes. But those are great notes for the first two. There's 2 out of 7.
Deep breath, man. I don't even know what I'm watching right now.
It's just buckle up and just enjoy. Bobs and weaves all over the place, and then in the end, it's just like, bam, there it is.
Yeah, I don't want to give out too many spoilers if we don't have to, Stoke. But it's if you haven't watched the whole thing by Monday, Tyler, I'll be shocked.
Oh, it'll be over. I guarantee it.
You got the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's done.
All right, Stoke, where are you broadcasting from, Brandon?
I'm just down in my basement. The Peyton Manning bedroom actually is my home studio now. So
funny.
I'm down here, and I can't lie, I actually love working from home.
Why don't you tell quickly the Peyton Manning bedroom story? People might not know it. I know it. I think it's terrific. But why don't you tell it real quick?
Well, just when he came to, he was coming to take a visit to Denver, and they were going to put him up in a place. And I just said, well, you know, if you want, you can just stay here, because he was trying to stay low-key at that time. And, you know, people were, it was, where is Peyton going to be, and what is he going to be doing? Where is his visit going to go? And he didn't want media and people finding out where he was staying and being all out there. He just wanted to be really low-key about what he was doing. So I was like, look, you can stay with me. You know, I live in a gated community, and I think it might be better for you. He's like, perfect. So he stayed with me for a few days and then just hunkered down there in the basement when he was going on his tour. And then when he ended up signing, he ended up staying here for a little bit also for the first week or two before he kind of moved on to bigger and better places. But he was, yeah, this was kind of his spot for a little bit.
That's great.
Very cool.
Who's that bedroom for?
Well, it's just a spare bedroom down in the basement.
I get it.
How rich he is, D-Mac? I mean, no, he's got extra rooms and stuff.
I mean, you know, sometimes you have an extra room in your house in the basement that you know, I only have two kids. I don't have 10 like Tyler, sorry.
I got three. Simmer down. And then I got some hang-ons.
Right, I got some hang-ons. But it's just a spare bedroom in the basement.
Yeah, okay. All right. I didn't know if, you know, mother-in-law was coming over a little bit too often.
No, just in case.
Just
the bedroom and the basement. So it works great for the studio, though.
Nice. Well, that's awesome.
It's perfect setup.
Stoke, I don't know if you saw the new mock draft came out today by Chad Ryder, but he's got the Broncos trading up to number 8 and selecting Henry Ruggs, the first wide receiver off the board. So at number 8, there had been no wide receiver selected. And in addition to that, in number 15, of all things that the Cardinals are able to select, they select Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle, which is what they traded at 15. How would you feel if we traded up for Henry Ruggs?
I would not feel good about it at all. I think, you know, if you trade up, you're trading up for Jerry Jeudy, in my opinion, for a receiver. If you're trading up for a receiver, you're trading up for Jerry Jeudy. If you stay at 15, you want to take Ruggs there, okay. But I wouldn't trade up to get him. I don't like speed wide receivers in the first round. I do like Ruggs, but there's other receivers that I think you can find in this draft, whether a little bit later, whether it's a Jefferson kid from LSU, Mims from Baylor, if you wanted to move back. But if you move up, to me, you're either moving up for an offensive tackle or you're moving up for Jerry Jeudy if you're going to go wide receiver. You don't move up for Henry Ruggs.
What makes Jeudy special?
What makes he can do it all. You know, when you talk about a complete wide receiver, route running, catching the football fast enough to get down the football field. You know, he doesn't have that 4.2 speed, but he's plenty fast enough. And so he's just the total package of route running, catching, big enough body frame. He can do it all, where Ruggs is a little bit smaller, and he's more of just a speed guy. We need speed. I wouldn't, you know, hate the Ruggs pick if we're at 15 and there's really nobody else there. I wouldn't hate it, but I'm not moving up for him.
Stoke, Raj did some great research. We've all been talking about it this week. But when you look back at the Pat Shurmur offenses, you know, his number 2, his number 1 wide receivers, they're very close, right? And you don't really have one superstar, nor do you have anybody that's that far removed. You've got 3 wide receivers that the ball's getting dealt all around the place. I guess I'd ask you this. When you're going 3 wide like Pat Shurmur is, is that just a product of being that open that you deal it to so many guys? Or is that specifically Pat Shurmur? He just doesn't want to lock in on a number 1.
Well, I told everybody on my show that I did that research. So you kind of, you know, you rain on my parade.
Well, yeah,
there.
You lied. So yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was all my research that I dug up. You know, I don't give credit to anybody else.
Yeah, that's smart.
Tyler.
That's smart.
No, I think when you look at it, it's got to be one of those things where, you know, who are your guys first and foremost? If you got guys out there, if you got a true number 1, I think you're going to lean more on that guy. Now, if you have it more where you don't have that one true number 1 and you got, you know, some really other good, just solid receivers, then you're going to be spreading the football around. I think in general, as an offensive coordinator, you would like the ball to be spread around so they just can't key on one main weapon and try to take that guy away.
All right, Stoke, you had A.J. Boye on your show today. I want to just play you a clip of A.J. on your show about what his role is going to be.
I'm going to be outside. That's all I know right now. I've only talked to him once. No matter what the task, I already know I'm up for it. I'm not afraid of anything, so that's not a worry with me. I'm going to go out there and compete and make plays and help the team. Like I said, I've been in the playbook. I studied some stuff from Chicago. Even when in 2014, when he was with the Niners, we played up there in Houston. So I remember what they was running. They had Tremaine, Brock, and I believe Culliver was up there. Bears, Cox, those guys were making a lot of plays. And I was just watching things like that. And it's like all these opportunities.
And what were your impressions of A.J. Boye, and where do you think he's going to fit in?
I mean, I think he's going to be a perfect fit, just very mature. He's a pro. I mean, he's got great recall. He's thinking back to whenever he played against the 49ers, and he's recalling what they were doing back then. And yep. That was, you know, Vic Fangio with the 49ers. How long ago was that? And so a guy that studies the game, studies film, he's a competitor, undrafted guy, had to fight and claw for everything that he's gotten. I think he's going to be a perfect fit. And we kind of knew that that's what his role was going to be. He's going to primarily be an outside guy like Chris Harris was. And that's how they're going to use him. And I think he's going to be a better fit for that role than Chris Harris was. But I liked all his answers and his mindset and his thought process. And I just think he's going to be a great guy in the locker room. For the younger guys to look up to, how he works and how he goes about his business. And I think he's going to be a great fit on the football field.
Stoke, if you were running the ship, would you have done the Melvin Gordon deal?
No, I wouldn't. And at first glance, when it first happened, I liked it. But I didn't realize that our cap situation was where it was at. And so I thought we still had, you know, 20, 30 million bucks to spend. And next thing you know, we don't have that type of money to spend. So I would have preferred in that situation to go out and get Breshad Perriman like the Jets did on a 1-year, $6 million deal to get that number two wide receiver. And you know what? If we draft a young guy and that guy is better than Breshad Perriman, so what? Breshad Perriman can sit on the bench or he can be your third wide. You can go four wide if you like all your wide receivers. I just would have liked to fill that void in free agency. And you're paying Melvin Gordon a lot of money, and you look at his stats, they're very underwhelming. They really are. Most of his career, he's averaged high threes in yards per carry, 3.8, 3.9, and I didn't think that was as pressing need as going out there and paying the money that we did for Melvin Gordon. So,
well, Melvin Gordon talked about the chip on his shoulder. I want you to hear it.
Oh, it was huge. You know, I just felt like a lot of people doubt my talent at the back. You know, just during the holdout, a lot of people were just saying that, oh, he's an average back, he's not this, he's not that. And, you know, just this year, people like, oh, well, he's not the back that he was. You know, no one takes into account that I didn't have my center, I didn't have my left tackle, and that we had guys that was hurt and just in and out, and I didn't have really my starting lineup, my best lineman I didn't have. No one cares about that, you know. And nor
Stoke,
should
he didn't have his center, he didn't have his left tackle.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. But you look at him over his whole career, he's had one 1,000-yard season. And that doesn't tell the whole story. He's really good out of the backfield, catching the football. You know, we get it. I heard it a million times. You know, that's the go-to now, man. This guy can catch the football out of the backfield. I mean, let's not mistake him for Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, though, okay? I mean, he projects him. He's 6'1", 2-something. He's not a guy that's going to be split out wide running all these exotic routes or you're going to put in the slot running all these great routes. He's going to come out of the backfield. And, you know, he played with a veteran quarterback that knows when to get him the ball in the passing game. So we'll see how he looks in the passing game here. Look, I hope he comes in here and has a chip on his shoulder and plays really good football. I just didn't think it was a pressing need. And I think he's a solid running back. He's not a special running back. He's played 5 years and he's had one 1,000-yard season. So I think he's a good running back, but not a special running back. And we paid him like a special running back.
Hey, can you hit the legal ID for us real quick, Stoke?
Yes. KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Denver, Longmont.
Thank you. No, that's not it.
No?
That's not it.
What is it? KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Denver, Longmont. What's wrong with it? What do you mean? That's what I say every time.
No, you don't.
No? What do I say?
No, you've, hold on. You got
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Right.
What did I say?
Longmont, Denver.
What did I just say a second ago?
You said Denver Longmont.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's close enough for me. That's a win. That's a win.
Yeah, I mean, Denver, you got all the right words.
Who's paying attention? Right. The first time I said it, I said something like K-A-K-F-N or something. So I really screwed it up then. So if I get Denver and Longmont mixed up, man, that's a win for me.
Sure, to be honest, I felt like you nailed it, man. I thought you nailed it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's Friday afternoon, you know, I'm on my fourth cup of coffee today. I haven't left the house. And, you know, kids are running crazy. The dog's, you know, not listening anymore, and it's only Friday.
You want to play some cards, like, via FaceTime or something tonight?
I think we need to do something like that for sure.
I think we should do this. I'm not even kidding.
There's different ways to do it. I've already gotten invited to a couple of them.
Hold on, let's do this. Let me know. I'm in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. That's something else I won't be invited to, but I appreciate your time, Stoke, and it's always great to hear.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, guys. Y'all take care. Stay safe, stay healthy, and y'all have a great weekend.
All right, we will hit the horn. The weekend is here. Kevin, it's 5 o'clock. Holy cow.
This is how we do it.
Well, you know, I think that obviously we had two good backs in Royce Freeman and Lindsey, Mr. Lindsey.
Yes!
Thank you.
Mr. Lindsey! One of the cooler things, Tyler, as we just heard, what we did this week is the shows are split up. And there's one person from every show who is broadcasting from home, and one person in the Fan, Millennial Ben. I don't know what's going on with him, you know, but everybody's kind of split up and doing things remotely. So it's been a challenge, but credit where credit's due to an incredible staff and a fantastic company that we work for, and we're trying to make the best of it. And I think, you know, being able to have Stokely, you know, jump on from the Peyton Manning bedroom is pretty cool.
No doubt. It's fun, man. Having Stoke pop on, always a great time. He was born for the Tiger King, by the way.
You know, you did not remind him about the relatives that perhaps were on that show.
Well, T-Mac, it's never smart to talk smack to someone's face. Always do it behind their back.
Oh, I got it.
Don't you know that?
Actually, I think I do know that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
The news of the day, yes, you heard a little bit from Melvin Gordon there. He talks about the chip on his shoulder. A little bit more about that chip on his shoulder.
Some players, they give that excuse for. And then you have some players that's in my position where, you know, they don't care if you have a good line or not, or if your line is hurt or not. It's, you're not what you are. You know, you're an average player. So to me, I'm going to take that and I'm going to use it as fuel because I know what type of player I am. And, you know, I want to show that. You know, I want to show that and I am going to show that. And I'm sure everybody that I'm better than just average.
You know?
He's in my doghouse already, D-Mac.
Why?
Are you kidding me? He's tossing his old line under the bus? That was the reason?
Yeah.
Really? 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 You're going to toss your old line under the bus?
He used that as an excuse, didn't he?
Wow. Okay. I've been around one or two of those. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if he realizes how tricky this might be. I mean, he's getting paid, so who cares, right? But he is going to be walking into something kind of tough. Wait and see. It's not going to be easy for this dude.
Yeah, man. I mean, from the fan base's perspective, can't you just picture it?
Yeah,
you picture game day? The second Philip enters the field, they just go nuts. Probably a standing ovation. His first touchdown, everybody's going insane. Melvin Gordon comes out. They got a 3-and-out. Boom!
Right. Because think of the story with Philip Lindsay. I mean, it is pretty awesome. Local kid, South CU, comes in undrafted, takes TD's number, the relationship that TD has had with Philip, does great, and now what? He's just supposed to sit there?
That's a tough situation, dude. Extremely tough situation. That is amazing. I didn't really think about the TD part of it either. That's a good point.
Well, I mean, the reason I'm thinking of it is how many number 30 jerseys are you going to see out there?
Yeah.
And we were all blown away in a good way when we saw how the fans came out for that autograph signing when we were doing our show out in the suburbs. And Tyler, tell the story about your kid wanting to go back in for an autograph.
Hold on. What are you talking about?
Philip Lindsay. When one of your kids goes, Dad, I want to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, when we had this autograph signing, and, man, it was the craziest thing either one of us had ever seen. It was just insane was the way the people showed up. We were at Perry's Pizza, and they just came out of the woodworks. So, you know, the show ends, and we're, like, in the middle of this mass hysteria, and we're, like, you and I are, like, just the, like, not even remotely a part of this hysteria.
That's for sure.
It's all about Philip Lindsay. But as we're walking out, the show's over. It takes about 45 minutes just to get out the door because everybody's saying hello, shaking your hand, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But we get outside the door, and my daughter's like, hey, Dad, can we go back in there and get his autograph? I'm like,
no.
There is no chance right. I'm going back into that chaos. Right. I am sorry. I love you. I'll get it another time.
I just do not realize what his popularity was. And now I'm hearing Melvin Gordon, what he's saying. We're going to see an interesting... I'll tell you this. There'll be pressure on Melvin Gordon to be really good really quick. And I think if he's really good really quick, then fine. But this is not going to be a scenario, Tyler, in my opinion, where he is going to have time to develop or whatever that is. We're going to have to see the impact relatively quickly. By the way...
Well, I don't think he's going to be short-lived either, though, D-Mac. I mean, even if he comes out and he's on fire the first three games of the season, if he falls off after that, oh, the fan base is going to be waiting for Philip. They're going to be waiting for it. You know?
Good point. Tough situation he's walking into. He's getting paid, but still, tough situation. Here is Melvin Gordon talking about what he held out. And by the way, let me ask you this. Who do you think was more popular with Chargers fans? And I know they're few and far between, right? But who do you think was more popular, Melvin Gordon or Austin Eckler?
What year?
This past year,
Austin Eckler, without a doubt. I mean, number one, he was the guy that was in the building. The fans don't relate to a guy that holds out. It's very difficult for a normal American to relate to an athlete that holds out. And I don't blame him, quite frankly. And then Austin Eckler just flat out excels in Melvin Gordon's absence. Yeah, I would imagine it was Eckler.
Here's Gordon talking about holding out with the Chargers.
I mean, it was tough, but you know, I definitely felt you know, I ruin some relationships. You know, it's all part of it, you know. And obviously, you try your best to kind of put that aside and try to go out there and still give it your all, you know. And that's what I tried to at times. It was definitely difficult. You know, you kind of felt some tension. Well, I kind of felt some tension walking around. But, you know, I just tried my best to just try to keep a smile on my face and just show up to work every day. Like I said, it was difficult. It was challenging. But, you know, I got through. You know, and obviously you can't take back what I did. What I did is done, and, you know, now I'm here.
And then he was asked, does he regret holding out?
I probably would come back, more so because my legacy and what I'm trying to do as a player and my mark that I'm trying to leave. And obviously those are games, obviously, that I can't get back. And starting off slow and, you know, being able to catch stride towards the end of the season, but, you know, then it's too late.
You know, Tyler, if you're not willing to go the entire season like Le'Veon Bell, and to this day, I cannot believe Le'Veon Bell did what he did.
Right.
But if you're not really willing to go the whole year, you should never hold out. All the cards, I mean, all of them are in the owner's favor.
Well, Trent Williams just did the same thing last year, right? So it's not common, and that's what makes it still so powerful for the player to actually be able to sit out an entire year. I thought it was kind of cool self-awareness in that audio, though. You know, not so much the last part where he was asked, does he regret it? But the first one, when he's talking about the relationships, when he's talking about the building, and when he came back, he could feel it. And, you know, he didn't like that. He didn't like the fact that his teammates viewed him that way. He didn't like the fact that the organization viewed him that way. That says a lot to me. You know, he made a decision to hold out, and it was probably partially the advice of the agent, probably partially him as well. But looking back on it, he says, man, that wasn't worth the strain that it put on all this relationship. That's a mature thing to look back on it and say.
I just haven't seen any holdouts. I guess Le'Veon Bell, I guess.
That wasn't a win, though. I mean,
you're right.
That wasn't a win.
I mean, I guess he wanted to get out of there. but he's not getting that money back. I don't know. Maybe it's better for your health if you're hurt, I suppose. But, man, oh, man, what do we know about guys that hold out? The fan base eventually, just like you said, they get ticked at him because, you know, what are you talking about here in terms of money? Then there's just the football aspect of things, that your body definitely needs a certain pace, right? A certain amount of buildup to be ready to play in the NFL, or you're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, running backs, it would feel like a guy like Le'Veon Bell, of all the positions, if you were going to hold out and you missed a year, I would think that running back would be almost a refreshing experience for those guys. You know, you've got such a short shelf life. You know, sit back, recover, get the body right, all those sorts of things. I don't know. I think it could almost be refreshing.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I think if you can, I don't know how you just conveniently do it, but Willis McGahee was more or less injured, took some time out in the middle of his career, came back and played into his 30s. Ricky Williams, same. It's kind of a self-imposed exile, right?
Mm-hmm.
People forget how long Ricky Williams kept playing in the NFL. He finished up his career, I believe, with the Ravens.
Oh, he had a great second half to his career.
Right? And, well, with Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he was with a crappy team there with the Jets, but I don't know, man. If you're trying to just get more money out of it, it's not going to work. It's never going to work if it's just getting and
well, I don't know if that's true.
I think
players win in holdouts more often than not. I would say the player wins more often than not.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the player, like, never wins.
Why do you say that?
Because what happens?
Teams cave. Teams cave all the time with players that hold out.
Like who?
I hate when you put me on the spot like this.
Because I can't think of anybody who caved.
Man, I don't know. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. But give me like 5 minutes and I'm sure can find a million of them.
Well, okay. As long as you can find one, you can find a million. Mike Kliss will join us here in just a little bit. And a reminder that, of course, this coronavirus pandemic, it's really brutal on so many people. We have launched 104.3 The Fan gift card rescue to try to help some of our terrific local businesses. Pretty simple. Go to 1043thefan.com/gift card and you will find a constant update of local businesses. It's a great living list where you can purchase an e-gift card to one of these businesses to help them out now. And then you can redeem it later when we're just in a better place. So it's a small way to help out. Go to 1043thefan.com. We appreciate it. Thank you. Mike Kliss joins us. He's our 9 News Broncos insider. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing good. I was just thinking that right now is as tough a challenge for many adults out there in the stay-at-home order, because this is happy hour, man. This is Friday, and you were talking about, you were talking about all the local establishments. Don't forget your dive bars that had the 250 pints of Coors Light, you know?
Well, we could thank Mike Kliss for reminding us about the dive bars. That seems appropriate. Mike, are you going nuts at home? Is that where I'm am I getting that impression or what?
Do I have the heebie-jeebies?
Yeah.
On Friday at 5:15.
Yeah.
I one of my favorite things in life is that throughout my life, regardless of the job I had, the Friday happy hour is hard to beat.
I like it.
All right.
Hard transition.
Right. Go ahead, Tyler. You take this one.
By the way, real quick, there was one successful holdout that I know of.
Okay.
Emmitt Smith, 1990-ish, 93-ish.
Hold on. What about Ezekiel Elliott? What about Von Miller? There's tons of successful holdouts.
Von Miller did hold out?
Through the offseason. No, counts as a holdout?
Games.
The offseason, that's a veteran move when you miss the offseason.
Okay. Right. Well, he wasn't showing up for work until he got paid, and he got paid.
But none of them are getting paid in the offseason, theoretically. Here's the Emmitt Smith in 1993. Tyler, you no doubt were too young to remember this, but the Cowboys had won a Super Bowl within a couple of years, and Emmitt Smith was held out as a running back. And in 1993, he signed the first two games. The Cowboys lost the first two games and barely scored. One of them was to a bad team. And the story goes that Charles Haley, Jimmy Johnson walked in the locker room. Charles Haley threw his helmet against the locker and busted up something. And he said, pay the, you know, effing man. And they paid Emmitt Smith. He still won the MVP that year after missing the first two games. And the Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's a successful holdout right there.
Well, that's a good one, but I mean,
Cam Chancellor did it a few years ago. He missed multiple games. He got a giant contract.
Okay. All right.
Who was that?
Cam Chancellor. That was about 5 years ago.
Okay. I don't remember that one. But
right, neither
anyway.
Do I. But
he missed two games.
Tyler's trying to prove his point. My point
Cam
is...
Cam Chancellor. Yeah, the guy, the Seattle safety who blew up DC.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Right. Okay, Mike, on Melvin Gordon real quick. First of all, what do you think about the deal in general, especially Gordon in compared to Philip Lindsay?
Yeah, I think I've been saying this, that the reason why he did it is because Pat Shurmur is the offensive coordinator. And they stuck with the Scangarello. I'm not sure they would have done this. Maybe, but Pat Shurmur throws to his backs. Philip Lindsay didn't catch the ball well last year. I don't know how good he was at CU. You guys watched him better. His rookie year, he was okay, but he's not quite the receiver I thought he would be. I've said it. Philip Lindsay is kind of in the wrong body. He is a tremendous between the tackle runner.
Yeah.
And I think the team thought, how long can he do that at his size? So they wanted a bigger back. They wanted a back who could catch. And Melvin Gordon, the reason why it was Melvin Gordon and not Todd Gurley, for instance, is Melvin Gordon is better in the pass game. And, you know, plus Gurley was, you know, he seems to have a little bit of the yips since that knee injury a couple of years ago. And, you know, those are the factors. Because Shurmur throws the ball a ton to the backs, that's why Melvin Gordon, I think, will fit with the Broncos. Now they got to figure out how Philip Lindsay fits.
And what would be a realistic pick at 15 that's going to surprise a lot of people?
I've said edge rusher. Mm. And I know it's not deep past Chase Young, but I say edge rusher for two reasons. One, look at Elway's history and what is Elway like. As a former quarterback, what does he value? He's always valued the pass rush. And two, look at the Broncos' pass rushing room right now. Vaughn Miller, fifth-year contract, next year the sixth year, non-guaranteed. He'll be 32 next year. He better have a bounce-back year. You know, he can't have another eight-sack year and expect to get $18 million in the sixth year. That's just not going to happen. Bradley Chubb coming off an ACL. Their backups right now, Tachu's a nice veteran backup. Malik Reed, promise. Justin Hollins, promise, but they haven't done it yet. So right now, if you're looking at the – is that a strength right now? You know, everyone says that edge rush position has been a Broncos strength ever since Vaughn – you know, was drafted. Is it a strength right now? And the pass rush is a position, one of those premium positions you take in the first round. Having said that, it doesn't look like it's really deep at that position in this draft past Chase Young.
Mike, do you think everything in free agency is lining up logically with what's about to happen in the draft? And if that's the case, what's the next logical step?
Yeah, I think, you know, there were a couple. They didn't get everybody they wanted. Nelson Aguilar, they dipped their toe in on him. You know, not very aggressively when you look at the
you know, he took a vet minimum deal with the Raiders. But they were in on him. That was before Gordon. Maybe they backed out after Gordon. They didn't get Reeder or Quentin Jefferson, two guys that they put in bids for, and they did wind up with Casey. But that tells you they were they're one short there. A cornerback, I think a corner could still be the number 15 pick.
Okay.
Wow. Because
wow.
That's a good one.
Well, you know,
that would be a surprise.
Well, I think in 14, they had Tlaib and Chris Harris, and they still drafted Bradley Roby. You know, that's another position where you need three. And maybe you take a corner there, and the strategy is, again, that the receiver class is so deep mm-hmm. that you can get a good one in the second round, you know?
So what I'm hearing from you is mm-hmm. they are not obsessed about tackle whatsoever.
Well, I haven't. Yeah, I hadn't quite got there yet. A tackle would make sense. Obviously, a tackle does make sense. Maybe they go tackle and receiver. They're going. The only thing I can tell you is they're going receiver in the first two rounds. I can't tell you they're going in the first round with receiver, but in the first two rounds they're going to go receiver. And tackle, you know, you got to tackle. Now you know, it depends on what they think about Morris and Schlotman at center. They need a center. But right now at left tackle, or, you know, and right tackle, they have Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson competing at left tackle. And, you know, Elijah being the swing guy. And we'll find out through the draft. They're still looking at a couple things in free agency. I don't expect
really?
A big splash.
Like what?
But, you know, I don't think they're completely, completely done in free agency.
What else are they looking at?
I don't, those positions I just mentioned. Huh. You know, I don't know names. But, you know, they're not done. They've been very active, and they seem to be active on a daily basis. And we'll see how this shutdown works, because they seemed real active when the Elway 7 was in the same room getting things done there for 10 days.
Right.
So
too funny with reports about Jersey Mike's or whatever the place was.
Chicago Mike's.
Chicago Mike's. Sorry. Don't mean to insult. All right, Mike. Well, we'll let you get on to your weekend. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, specifically in your house.
Yeah.
So you can figure it out.
Just here, you know, hanging out with the wife and the kids.
Appreciate you, man.
Well, best of luck with that, Mike. We got to go. I know you don't have anywhere to go, but we got to go.
Okay. See you guys.
Nine News Insider, Mike Kliss. I really do think Mike would have talked for another hour there, Tyler.
No doubt about it.
I don't think he was in a rush to go anywhere.
No, I'm very sure he would have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with all that, there are some interesting ideas, some compelling things out there that are worth talking about, not only in football, but more specifically in baseball. Details about that next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.